Welcome to Reasonably Shady, a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
All right, everybody. Okay, so this is Reasonably Shady. What is happening? My name is Giselle Bryant.
How y'all doing? This is Robin Dixon.
And we are here today to talk about all kinds of things once again. But I want you all to know that today is all about pride. We are loving pride. We live pride. We're here for pride. So we're going to talk about some pride.
Absolutely. Happy Pride Month, everyone.
Yes. June is Pride Month and we are getting our pride on. But, you know, first and foremost, we always do what we do, and that is give our Reasonably Shady moment of the week. Robin, I've had several.
Oh.
What about you?
Oh, I can't wait. Well, I mean, I have one to share.
Yeah, one. Okay.
Yes. So my Reasonably Shady moment goes to the cicadas.
Yes, cicadas.
Because we have not talked about those cicadas. And my DoorDash driver, who, by the way, I need like platinum status in DoorDash.
Yes, you do.
Yes. But so my DoorDash driver calls. Uh-huh. You know, there you get the text. It's like, oh, your DoorDasher is approaching, blah, blah, blah. So I get a phone call, and the DoorDash driver was like, it's too many cicadas out here. Can you come to the car and get your food? I'm like, what?
So the DoorDash man is scared of cicadas.
Yes, it was a girl. It was a young lady. And I was okay. I will come to the door. And first of all, it wasn't even that many cicadas out. So I'm like, young lady, if you are scared of the cicadas to the point where you can't execute your job,
right,
then how about you just wait another week or two until the cicadas are gone?
Yeah, that's I'm feeling that. I'm totally feeling that. However, they are making their way out, but they have been the worst. Like, I have run from cicadas. I have like screamed and yelled because they have flown on me. It has been a situation. One time I went out walking with my kids a couple weeks ago, and that was like a disaster.
Oh yeah, outdoor walks are canceled. Outdoor walks, picnics, cookouts,
canceled.
Crabs, going to the pool, that's canceled for right now.
Canceled. Cicadas got it on lock.
But you know what is so crazy? So my son, Corey, who is 13, like, he's terrified of them. So like, we'll be outside and he's like, like running from them and scared.
Yeah.
I remember, and I don't know if you can relate, when I was a kid and the cicadas were out and popping 17 years ago. Okay. I've been through, this is my third time with cicadas.
Okay.
So I think it was like the first time. So 17 times two is what? 34 years ago.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so I was probably like 8 or something.
Right. Okay. Robin with the math.
And I was like outside, like catching them.
Ew.
And playing with them. And yeah, I wasn't scared of them. Like, I guess I was a tomboy. I would play with frogs. I would catch frogs and bring them in the house. And
Robin, that's weird.
No, it's not. That's like what we did. We played outside all the time.
This is true. But wasn't nobody playing with a cicada?
Yes, they were. Mm. Lightning bugs. Did you catch lightning bugs at least?
I did catch lightning bugs in a jar, but I wasn't touching them.
Okay, well, I was doing all that. So when I see these 13-year-old boys scared of cicadas, I'm like, what has happened?
Listen, you better toughen up them Corey and Carter. You better toughen them up. Because if they're scared of a cicada, Lord, it's going to be a terrible life for them.
It's just different. So anyway, so yes, my shady moment, not even just the week, the past, month, I guess,
we've been dealing
with these cicadas, goes to the cicadas and the DoorDash driver who doesn't want to do her job. Because of the cicadas.
Yeah, she needs to go indoors for another week or so. Now, Robin, you know that I've been traveling. I've been out of town. I've been vacationing with my children.
Yes, ma'am.
And we've been living our very best life, which I'm very happy about. So, you know, I've been out here in these streets. I've been vacaying with my children. And anytime we go out, especially like, you know, to dinner or whatever, we always have like a color that we're going to wear. So we wear our colors and then we go downstairs or we get ready to get in the car and we find a nice place to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And so because, you know, we all want to be in the picture, we have to find somebody to take the picture for us.
Right.
Okay. So we're in a very nice hotel in Miami. Actually, I can say it is the one hotel in Miami. And
it's very expensive.
It is a little expensive, but you know, Giselle, you know, her coins are good these days.
Nice.
Okay, all right. So anyway, so I asked this lady, very nice white lady. I said, excuse me, can you take a picture of me and my kids? Mm-hmm. And she looks at me and she was like, I'm blind. I'm blind. I'm blind. Oh, I'm blind. I said, no. What? She's looking me dead in my face and telling me she is blind. What? And then she walks away and proceeds to like navigate her way through the crowd.
Does she have a cane? Like a
no cane.
A stick?
No stick. No glasses. No, no. She just told me she was blind. Now, if that ain't shady, I don't know what is. So she is my shady lady
that
of the week.
Like, she literally had that one ready to go.
She
like,
was ready for me.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Okay,
she
maybe.
She said she was blind.
She was blind, but had nobody helping her.
No. Nope.
No stick helping her to walk.
No. Nope.
Okay, and went on her merry way.
And went on her merry way, and I had to find somebody else. It took me a very long time to find somebody else. I asked another lady. She pointed to her ears, and she was like, I'm on conference call.
Oh, my God.
No one wanted to take a picture of me and my children, which we're cute. I don't understand.
Oh, my God. By the way, I did see you all, your pictures of, like, the same color, and I was like, yes. That is so cute.
Yes. That actually, Adore, my daughter, she coordinates the colors.
Okay.
And she's like, okay, tonight's going to be white night. Tonight's going to be yellow light night. So she, you know, makes sure that we're all on one accord for our colors.
I love
yes.
that. My kids would never do that with me.
Yes. But anyway, this lady out here in these streets at the one hotel in Miami, you were not blind. You were just shady. Okay.
What?
You did not want to take a picture of me and my kids. You're rude. I'm going to call you a Karen. Yes, you were white. You were a Karen.
Oh, okay. My God.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. Okay. So let's move on to, I love the fact that we can now talk about like current events,
yes.
things that are going on in the world. Last week we talked about Fallon mm-hmm. and Simon mm-hmm. and Portia. Do we have any updates?
Yes. So I watched the interview.
Okay. Fallon's interview.
Fallon's interview. And in the most nicest way possible,
yeah.
I tried my hardest to stay awake.
Okay. Fallon, you're boring, her girl. You're boring.
Because it was just, I mean, you know, and no like shade to her, like this is all new, but like, I'll tell you like the things that stuck out to me. Number one, she says she found out about Portia and Simon at the same time the world did.
Okay. That's probably true, right?
Really? I mean, I guess so.
Yeah, I think that's true. Okay. I believe that.
Okay. I thought that was surprising.
Okay.
Number two, Simon really wanted her to do the show.
Oh, okay.
So he really pushed her to do the show, which led me to believe that's why he's with Portia, because he is interested in the limelight and the you know, fame. And since Fallon, for whatever reason, didn't really, you know, get it
okay.
on that season she was on, this yeah. past season she was on, I guess we didn't see her that much. And
right.
like, I don't know, maybe just she just, it wasn't her thing.
Okay.
And I think that's the whole reason why he is not with Fallon and he's with Portia. Because
okay, so forget the fact that, you know, Portia's beautiful. She has a great personality. She has a big booty. He don't like none of that. He just likes the fact she's on TV. Is that what you're saying, Robin Dixon?
Okay, yes and no. I mean, I think he is attracted to the fame, number one.
Okay.
And then number two, all that other stuff is amazing. Now, and I think from all his activity on social media, he stays, you know, talking
yes,
on social media about what's going on with them. And then just from hearing Fallon say that he really wanted her to do Atlanta, mm-hmm. it just made me feel like, okay, he's more attracted to the fame than anything else. Maybe that's what caused their marriage to fall apart, because maybe he wanted more from Fallon.
And she couldn't give it because he didn't figure out before she joined the show that she was boring.
Right. I don't know. I guess that's just kind of that's what I gathered from that.
Okay.
Outside of that, like Fallon, you know, she was a class act. She really wasn't trashing anyone. She didn't blame Portia for anything.
Okay.
But you know, she said the two of them, Simon and Fallon, are responsible for the marriage falling apart.
Okay.
But the timeline just sounded really fishy.
Mm.
You know, it's just a lot of like.
So she was talking about a bunch of nothing.
Yes and no. I mean, I feel like I learned stuff, but it didn't really, it was nothing that was like super shocking.
Okay.
For me, it's just still a little bit more confusion. I really don't have like huge answers to anything. The timeline seems really fishy as to like when their marriage fell apart. And this is the other part she said. They have been going through therapy.
Uh-huh.
And she thought everything was all good. So this is where I started getting fit. Oh, and this is funny. So I'm sitting there listening to it. And Juan is like on the couch. He's like watching TV, but he can hear it.
Yeah.
And so he starts off and he's like, I really like her. So that's how he started.
Okay. Juan likes Fallon. Okay.
Right. Then towards the end of the interview, he was like, turn that off. She sounds stupid.
Juan was able to deduce that Fallon, you're a liar.
Okay. Because she went from like, you know, oh, we take, you know, I don't blame Portia. We both played a part in the, yes. the demise of our marriage, to saying, okay, Simon and I were going through therapy and he hadn't been home. And this is where it started getting a little weird. He hadn't been home in 3 months.
Huh?
Right. And I talked to him, you know, I talked to him on the phone and we all, you know, we were good. And then the next day I found out he filed for divorce. And it was just like weird. It was
Listen, if your man is not home in 3 months, that's not your man.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So that's when Juan was like, turn her off. She sounds stupid.
All right.
So I think this, like, at this point, we should just let the cameras just yes. pick up at this point, because it's a whole bunch of back and forth, and Fallon and the supposed boyfriend who says he's not, and, you know, they keep going on Instagram. We're just going to be entertained on Instagram yes. until we see what happens on the show when these cameras start rolling.
I'm okay. here for that. I'm right. here for that. I'm yeah. here for minding my business.
Are you really?
No, not really. Okay, moving on. All right, so I also did not see the documentary about Tom Girardi, but you saw it. Okay, so give me tea. Give me the tea, Robin Dixon.
Child. That man, okay, so I watched it. That actually came out today.
Okay.
Right? Today is the 14th. Yeah, it just came out today. And I will tell you this, I signed up for Hulu just to watch this.
Not Robin has a Hulu subscription.
Yes,
because for Tom Girardi.
Yes, I signed up just to watch this, and ooh, it was good. I was watching it on my way here. I didn't get to finish it.
Okay,
but I picked up some, like, I don't know the proper term, like psychopath vibes from him, because
oh, wow.
people had voicemail recordings. Like once they started feeling like, you know, stuff was getting really fishy with their money, he would like leave them voicemails like, I'm a really nice guy. I hope you don't hate me, but you know, I'm trying to get everything taken care of. And I know it's really frustrating for you and it's really frustrating for me. Like me, like, but the whole time he's like lying to them, you know, like,
yeah.
So what I don't understand, it's like, okay, it's simple math. If you get $100 million settlement for your clients.
Yes.
You take your 20%, which most lawyers do.
20 million.
A good 20 million. That's, okay. That's nice.
That's
money,
not chump change.
Right.
At all.
That's nope. nice money.
Mm-hmm.
And you give them their 80 million and call it a day.
You call
but
it
what
a day.
He was doing was like, he was stalling. He was like trying to piecemeal it and give it to them in like monthly installments.
Yeah,
and
no.
Like, it was just, and what I gather is that has been going on for years.
Okay.
And it caught up to him. What I thought was kind of stupid was that he would even allow Erica to be on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because, you know, she's over there talking about, you know, showing off her house and her money and talking about the planes they have and all this stuff. And meanwhile, there's people literally like hunting him down for their settlements.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, if you knew that you owed these people money, why are you allowing your wife to go on?
well, then that clarifies for me, or solidifies for me, that she did not know. Erica did not know
yeah,
that this was going on.
I don't think she knew. I really don't. I don't think she knew. She definitely didn't know the degree to it. I feel like, you know, well, we'll see. Like when she files for divorce, which we just saw in the last episode,
okay,
that she filed for divorce, maybe that's when she started to realize like
something's wrong.
Oh, something's wrong. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have no money if I don't protect myself. So
right.
I feel like, you know, her filing for divorce was to protect herself. But I mean, we'll see. Anyway, but like literally Tom is like in a deposition. He's like, yeah, they're asking him like how much money he has. And he's like, yeah, I had like 80 million cash, but it's all gone. And I had 50 million. This is bizarre. I had $50 million in stock portfolio, and that's all gone. I'm like, what?
Tom, stop it. Okay. We're going to move on to another deposition. Okay.
Okay.
Because there's a man, a black man that we love to hate and then hate to love. His name is Kanye West. And reportedly, he lashed out. He had to give a deposition because he's in some sort of legal battle with people that he was doing business with when it comes to his gospel music or whatever. And during the deposition, which was court ordered because he did not want to come. He said he wanted to do it virtually because he don't have time for these people. He has other things to do. He is friends with Trump. He said that. This is a quote. He's friends with Trump. Yes. During the deposition, he puts on a Jesus head covering, which, by the way, I don't even know what that looks like.
So is that a mask that looks like Jesus?
Don't know what that means.
Can we get a photo?
I don't know. And then he called himself the richest black man in America.
Wrong.
Yes, that's very wrong. So we're just going to forget Jay, Michael Jordan.
I mean, what about the man that paid off all the Morehouse students' loans? What's his name?
Him.
He's like uber duber.
He's called, I'm trying to find him. What's his name
He's married. Leave him alone.
Oh, okay. I'm going to leave him alone. Anyway, so my point of the story is Kanye, cut it out. Okay. Be clear that you're not that important. You don't need to put on a Jesus head covering because you're not Jesus. If you're friends with Trump and you still want to tell the world that, you should keep that to yourself. And Kim, I think you dodged a bullet, honey.
Oh my gosh. You know what? She dodged a bullet. And we've seen reports and pictures of him with this model.
Yeah, the new girl.
Irina, who I guess has a kid or used to date Bradley Cooper, right?
She
has
really?
I don't think they have a kid together. I think they do.
Okay.
She used to date Bradley Cooper.
Okay.
Okay, so first of all, can we pause for a second? If you hear a whole bunch of noise.
Okay, fine. Fine. The studio is in the studio where Robin and I do what we do, call our Reasonably Shady podcast, is in like my basement. Okay, upstairs, I have workers here, construction workers. They're working on my front door and my entryway. Listen, the renovation is continuing whether we got to do a podcast or not.
They're loud as hell. That's all I can say. I mean, can we tell them to go to lunch? Damn.
No, we're not.
They took their lunch break already?
They took the lunch break. Yes. They took their siesta. Okay. So
all that noise in the background is
Giselle's the workers. Sorry. House. Sorry. Yes.
All right. So I feel like Kim, you know, recently we saw these pictures of Kanye with Irina Shayk. I don't know how to say her name, but I feel like Kim is probably looking at the pictures, laughing like, oh, he is your problem now, boo-boo.
Yes.
Like, this is all you.
You can have him.
Have at it.
Yes.
Because we don't know all the ins and outs. And I feel like what we've seen is enough to actually have a little bit of sympathy for her.
Yeah.
I think she probably tried her best to, you know, deal with his eccentric personality.
Yep. We'll call it that.
And whatever else comes with it. My hat is off to her for dealing with that.
My hat is off to her for really trying to put together and have a family unit. You know, they have four kids together. She really tried to make it work. And I kind of feel sorry for her a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Because when you have four kids, like I understand getting divorced, you know, without children or, you know, but four kids.
Four small kids.
Right.
And you want them to have stability. From what I understand, Kanye wants to move to a different place every year. And, you know, you just need to have stability for children.
Right. And then your kids have to see that your father is showing up to depositions.
with a
Jesus head on his head. I don't tell him.
He got a Jesus head wrap.
Come on. You need to take life seriously. And you can't just thumb your nose at like real legal stuff. Like,
yes.
That's not going to help you at all.
And it never, you know, Kim, we all know, went behind him and apologized for all his behavior for the entire time that they were married. Clearly, I'm sure, very happy. She no longer has to do that.
Right.
Because she's not a babysitter. She's a grown A woman who is holding down a $1 billion business and four kids.
Right.
So, and getting people out of jail. So my hat goes off to Kim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's got a lot going on.
Now, you have some Page Six information from what I understand.
Oh, yeah. So I just need to share this story. The headline alone was like, made me stop.
Okay.
Let me read the headline.
Okay.
This is the headline that I read. And then I had to go, you know, read them more. Manhattan socialite ditches her restaurateur partner for her identical twin sister's husband. Look at the door's face.
Okay, right now I want y'all to know that one of my twins is in the room with us and she's looking like WTF. What in the world is happening? Because that would never happen.
So, this is like, this is crazy. They're Swedish born.
Okay.
These ones are Swedish born.
Because these are not black people.
No.
Because we don't get down like that, just for the record.
No.
Black people don't do this. Okay.
No. So Charlotte Bonstrom and her sister is Cecilia Bonstrom. So Charlotte, She left her restaurateur husband, Vittorio Assaf, and he owns like Serafina, the Serafina yes. restaurants and stuff.
Okay.
So she left him. Okay.
In order to be with the billionaire.
Well, no, I don't know that either one's a billionaire. So they were married for 20 years. Okay. She left him to go get with her, to go marry her identical twin sister spouse. So her identical twin sister was married to a founder of a fashion label, Zadig and Voltaire.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know
I have a couple things by them. Yes. I can't remember exactly what. The weird part is, so like I started going on like Instagram. So the one that was married to the fashion label, she's like the creative director for the fashion label.
Okay.
And she's still like working for the fashion label.
Okay, but are these are identical twins. They look alike, yeah, obviously.
Look at the picture.
So he don't know who he's getting.
I mean, I think you know. I think you know. I mean,
he's like, I'll take either one of y'all.
I mean, I think your daughters are identical twins. Like, Adore, that would be like, you know, you dating Angel's.
Yeah, that would never go down.
Yeah,
that would
her
never
mouth
happen.
Is wide open. Like, how do you do that?
That would never happen. Okay.
So you literally are like, we can throw that sisterhood in the trash.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then the man, I mean, this is like a whole mess.
Find your own man. That's what I want to say. Find your own man.
Right. Like the man. Okay. So the husband who got with the twin, like,
dirtbag.
Clearly you have a type. I mean,
your type is the same person. Right. That's your type. Right. So just stay with your wife. Like, you're a dirtbag. I don't like you. I'm never buying a piece of your clothes again. What is it, Zagwig?
Zadig and Voltaire.
Yeah, never buying that again.
Zadig. I don't know. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
Yes.
But it's so, isn't that bizarre?
That's very bizarre.
So bizarre.
Yes. And if you have any bizarre type of stories like that, please send them to us because we want to talk about them.
Yes.
We want to laugh at them.
And really, it almost makes me feel like this whole Portia and Simon thing is nothing.
Yes, Portia is getting. We don't care about Portia anymore because twins are marrying each other's husbands.
Right.
Yes. Crazy.
Portia has nothing on Charlotte and Cecilia.
No,
okay?
Not at all. Now, I do want to talk about, because in my travels with my kids, I was in Miami. Okay. So Miami is actually now the new Vegas, maybe, because it's like hosting all of these nonsense fights. Okay. We have Floyd.
I want my money back, Verizon.
Yes. And a man that I ain't never heard of before. Now we have YouTube against TikTok. We got all of these stupid ass fights. Yes, I said it. Stupid ass. Does anyone care who's over the age of 26?
Well, so I thought I cared. I actually paid for the fight, for Floyd's fight.
Okay.
And I literally was like, never again am I falling for this crap.
Right.
Never again. But my kids kept telling me, like, so what is it? Over this past weekend, my kids are like, oh, yeah, the YouTuber and the TikToker are going to be fighting. And they're like looking at me like, are you going to buy it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you better get out of my face. I'm not.
Yes. We're not interested in YouTube and
crap.
TikTok. No.
And then I'm like, the highlights are going to be on YouTube and TikTok. Like any minute.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. It makes absolutely no sense to me. But guess what? They're making quadrillions of money.
Word. I'm almost like, maybe I should sign up to get my ass beat for
to get dropped like Ocho.
Right.
Ocho, why did you get
Ocho,
dropped?
We got Ocho. Yes. We got, oh my God, wait, did you see Lamar Odom?
No. Did he fight?
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Speaking of Lamar, he hung out with Wendy Williams that night. By the way, Wendy Williams, you getting your swerve on, honey.
Oh, right. What is she now trying to get with Gary Owens or something?
Yeah, you ask. How do you invite somebody on to your show to do an interview and then you ask them out for a date?
I think she's on a hormone patch or something.
She need to put that hormone patch back on, honey. Listen, and they went out on a date. They were spotted out on
really?
The date. Yes. So after she, and then she tells us she was hanging out with Lamar after he won his fake belt. Like, this is a mess.
Oh my gosh.
Wendy, get yours, honey, because you getting it.
Right. I need you to watch the clips of Lamar's fight, though.
Is it worse than Chad getting dropped? Which one?
Well, Lamar won, right? So Lamar is like literally like Lamar is like 6'10".
Okay.
And he's fighting Aaron Carter. Do you remember Aaron?
Yes.
Yes. Aaron Carter's probably like 5'4".
Right.
And so he's just like these long arms. I mean, he's swinging at Aaron Carter. Aaron Carter is running all over the ring. Like...
like a bad act.
Oh, it's, I mean, he's, but Aaron Carter did get some good hits off at him. It was like, boom, 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 boom. He got some good hits. And then I think he just like wore himself out because Lamar was just like swinging his long arm like that.
I'm going to say this. Lamar, your belt doesn't count if you're fighting a 4-year-old. Like, it doesn't count. If you're fighting somebody that's half your size, it doesn't count.
What is the belt for?
I don't know. Like, it's like the winner of the losers.
I mean, I just think people are so excited to be like outside of this pandemic, and they are finding any reason to get people together to like, you know, do something. So, hey, if watching these horrible boxing matches brings people joy.
Hey, listen, we were in Miami and Grace, my oldest daughter, you know, she's always got something up her sleeve. Oh, she was like, Mom, why don't we stay and then we can go to the fight? First of all, I have no interest in being bothered with these little teeny boppers that are going to this fight. And no, I'm not spending all this. No, the answer is no.
Yeah. But you know what? Honestly, I hope they kind of stop because I think they're devaluing the sport.
Yes.
And, you know, I hope these guys realize like how serious this sport is.
Right.
How people train all their lives for it. And they're kind of like taken away from it and almost making a mockery of it.
So a little bit.
Hopefully.
Hopefully this will be it.
Oh, are there more coming, Adore?
Adore says there's more coming. All right, but we have better, more exciting news. It was like breaking news. The breaking news was that Watch What Happens Live was actually live with Andy Cohen and people in the clubhouse.
Hallelujah.
Andy, hallelujah. You have suffered, honey. You have survived. Because you were in there by yourself. You were scratching your head. You were scratching your toes. You was
scratching your balls.
So you were scratching everything. And you was talking to yourself. You was dealing with the Wi-Fi. I remember one day I was on the floor trying to fix my Wi-Fi. And you was probably very angry with Giselle. But anyway, you now have a live studio audience and live guests. Andy Cohen, congratulations.
Yes.
Woo! Round of applause. Round of applause for Andy. All right, last thing I want to talk about is I saw the musical with my kids, In the Heat.
In the Heights.
In the Heights. Oops. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it was called. In the Heights.
You loved it that much.
Yes. And it was actually amazing. So if you liked Hamilton, then you'll love In the Heights.
Okay.
Yes, on HBO Max. I'm giving them a little shout out. It's the guy.
Miranda.
The Miranda guy.
Okay.
Yes. He did it.
You loved it that much.
He did it and it was everything.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't watch Hamilton.
Yeah.
Oh. But I will take your word for it. I'm not into musicals and stuff. So Angels in the Musicals. So did you like it, Adore? You liked it? Okay.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. Check it out. All right. So we got to get to what we're getting to. And today's episode is called The Power of Pride. All right. We want to just be very clear. We know that we have so many fans that are part of the LGBTQIA community.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And we are so excited to be in a space and in a place and in a year that we can just be excited about pride, talk about pride. It's not taboo. And right now, starting off this little conversation, I have my 15-year-old daughter Adore with us because I think the younger generation is really, I don't want to say they're spearheading the pride movement in a different way, but they have a different take on it than I did, I can say, when I was growing up.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like the younger generation, they're growing up already understanding pride and LGBTQIA issues or even existence. I mean, I'll be honest, when I was growing up, I didn't even know that there was a community or there were issues to be aware of. And so I really love that the younger generation, they're growing up with that consciousness.
Yes.
It wasn't part of my consciousness when I grew up.
Yes. Now, Adore, I do remember when you were taking ballet and you had a girl in your class who had two fathers.
Yeah.
Was that weird to you?
No. Well, I don't even remember. I was so little. But years after that, I had another girl in my school who had two fathers. And I thought it was just so cool. Like, I didn't see like anything wrong with it. Like, they were all so sweet. And I think that now it's just really normal and accepted. Like, even on TV and everything, they're being like more represented. And I feel like the more they're represented, the less people are going to have to like worry about not feeling accepted.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Like weird or something like unusual because it's like happening more often.
Yeah. Right. Now I do have a question because Demi Lovato just recently came out and saying that she is
Non-binary?
So
I don't really know as much, but non-binary is where you don't specifically identify as a he or she. You're plural.
You're
they, them.
You're they and them.
You're one person, but you don't identify as a specific gender. So instead, you're they, them.
Okay. And now, that's what Demi Lovato is now.
Yeah. So Demi identifies as non-binary, and Demi wants us to refer to them as they or them. I mean, that's definitely something that, like, you, as I'm even saying that, I'm trying to refrain from saying she wants us to refer.
You know
what I mean? Or you know, so it is an adjustment. It's something to understand. I wonder, is that something that is directly connected to sexuality, or is that a totally different issue or topic?
Yeah, I think that it's different because, like, the way you identify is, like, who you are as a person versus, like, your sexuality is, like, a different area of who you are.
Okay.
Got it.
Do you have any friends that identify that way?
No, I don't have any friends that identify that way, but I know someone who was on who had to substitute for my lacrosse team, and they were transgender. Mm. And so because they weren't allowed to play for the boys team, they made them play with us. But I just didn't really know. And I didn't know what to say or how to.
Okay. So this is my question.
Yeah.
They were transgender. So were they born a boy or a girl?
So I didn't ask. I'm guessing because they're not allowed to play with the boys, they're born a girl, and now they're a boy, and they're not allowed to play with the boys because of just rules that have already been set.
Hmm. Gotcha. I do remember there's a debate as to whether or not that's fair, yeah.
Right. So if you were born male, but you have transitioned to female, should you be allowed to play as a female in female sports?
Right? I don't know.
What are your thoughts as a 15-year-old? What do you think?
I don't know. I just feel like with all of that, there's so much genetics and so much things behind it that I don't know. I'm not educated enough to know what that person, how athletic they are,
right?
Or even person by person, not everyone's going to be a fair competitor. So what's really the scale of, oh, it's fair to compete against this person, but it's not fair to compete against that person. I feel like more sports should be more inclusive anyways. I feel like more girl sports should get more funding and other things like that. But I feel like for transgender people, I don't really know.
I mean, I can see where it's a really touchy issue because, you know, just naturally men are stronger, more athletic. And so if you have an athlete who was born a male, but identifies as female, that natural athleticism and strength is still, the advantage of that is still going to be there. So I understand the debate. And I even saw where Caitlyn Jenner even thinks that they should not be allowed, because imagine if Caitlyn Jenner is saying that, and Caitlyn was a Olympic athlete.
Yes.
So if Caitlyn were to have transitioned, you know, when she was in her prime, would that have been fair to the other women?
But then where do you compete? Where do you play?
That's a good
question. Right, I know.
Because then you're just nowhere.
Right. Yeah, and that's the hard part, because that's not fair either. Yeah. You want everyone to be able to have the same opportunity to participate in sports and athletics.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
So for you, just to let you know, and I'm so happy that you are totally inclusive and you don't even think about it twice. And it just speaks to how far we've come. I remember when I was your age and my dad, you know, he's 80 something years old. And he's a very funny guy. But anytime he felt like somebody was gay, he would say, you know, I think that gentleman has sugar in his tank. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, sugar in his tank? For the longest time, right. I didn't understand what that meant.
Right.
Until I got older and I was like, oh, he means that the person is gay.
Yeah.
And it was very taboo to even discuss back then.
Yeah.
So just to see how far we've come is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that it's because of all the people that you got to surround me with in my life, other people who are more, just have different ways of life than you or dad. I think it helped me, versus some kids don't have that much exposure to things like that. So then they go to school and they're like, what is going on? I don't know. what?
Yes.
And then I'm like, girl, let me help you out.
Yeah.
But I just think it's so important for kids to just be exposed to all different types of people who just identify in different ways, because that'll just help them in their future.
Yeah. And I've always taught you guys that we love everybody. We don't treat anybody differently, and love is love.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll be honest. So I have two boys and they play sports. And so they have a lot of, you know, we're constantly around a team of boys, and I will frequently hear them, you know, say, oh, that's gay, or, you know, when they, like the yeah. boys, like, oh, if they say something that, like, if they're eating a hot dog, it's like, oh, that's gay. Like, it's yeah. all this. And I'm always like, guys, like, stop. Like, right. So, you know, there's still, we still have a ways to go
yes.
with educating people and exposing them and just making them, you know, like accepting and just realizing like this is a normal part of life. Yes. And so I'm constantly telling the kids, you know, that my boys are around, you know, stop using that as a like a bad thing.
Yeah. yeah.
Stop.
Yes. You know,
so it's, we're not quite there yet. But I think it does help when there are other children or people who are accepting and maybe they have to hear from them to say, okay, this is not yeah. okay. Like yes. you need to stop. So.
You know what? Love is love. And I was just very impressed with our Vice President Kamala Harris, who marched in the DC Pride Parade. Thank you, Kamala. Yes. Her and her husband, they marched.
That is awesome. And you know, her Secret Service were like having a fit.
Yes. Secret Service was having a fit and we didn't give a damn. Okay. But I love that it was the first sitting either vice president or president that actually marched in a gay parade. Mm-hmm. I think that speaks volumes for who and what she is. Mm-hmm. She had her Love is Love t-shirt on and she was rocking it with yep. her little pink jacket and her tennis shoes.
That is awesome. And that actually brings up the memory when we were filming season one. We didn't yes. get to see this, but we actually had the opportunity. No, I'm sorry. I think that was season two.
It was season two, yeah.
Yeah, we had the opportunity to walk in the gay pride parade in DC and it was a day. I mean, ooh, it was hot. It was a long day.
Yes.
We were tired, but it was like the energy was amazing.
Yep.
It was full of love. You know, I'm so happy that we had the opportunity to do that. It was such a beautiful day.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm mad that Bravo didn't show it. Bravo, get that footage and show it, because it was definitely an amazing day. And it is a beautiful energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like the energy is so peaceful and it's just so much love and everybody's inclusive.
Oh, so happy.
And
it was like
yes. And I'm happy that the logo or whatever is a rainbow. That makes
uh-huh.
sense. Because
uh-huh.
everybody is just feeling love and included and no one is feeling judged. Because no one should be judged for who they want to love. I'm not in the gay community to know what goes down at the gay pride parade. But if there is a separation of a white parade and a black parade and a white gay pride moment and a black, I mean, pride should be, everybody is together, right?
It should be. But I think we shouldn't forget the fact that black gay people already have a tough time with, I guess, acceptance in the black community itself.
True.
You know what I mean? So
true.
Like, so they're dealing with acceptance within the black community, or, you know, their families or whoever has, you know, not been as accepting of homosexuality. And then they have to deal with just race relations between, you know, whites and blacks.
Yes.
And, you know, so they have, it's multi-layered of what they have to deal with.
Of discrimination.
Yeah. That we kind of, you know, as for me, just as a heterosexual black woman, like, I don't think about that. I think, you know, while we've come a long way, just with, you know, pride in general, it sounds like we have a longer way to go.
Yeah.
And hopefully the black community can do a better job of, you know, understanding and accepting our gay brothers and sisters. And hopefully the gay whites, blacks, Asians, whomever can all come together, you know, just as a unified front and not as a separate, you know, two totally separate causes. And so while, you know, we are the best allies that we can be,
yeah.
clearly we got a long way to go. So
we do.
Yeah. Hopefully we open some eyes to some people today who are listening so we can, you know, continue to add more allies.
Yes. I hope so too. And just for the record, just so everybody knows, there was a man by the name of Bayard Rustin. I've talked about him before in interviews. He was the one that spearheaded and orchestrated the March on Washington.
Hmm.
He was one of Martin Luther King's like right-hand man.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't talk about the fact at the time that he was gay because he didn't want to distract from this whole civil rights movement.
Okay.
But he was, and everybody that knew him knew it. So he was one of our black gay pioneers.
Oh, fantastic.
For the record.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
yes,
awesome.
Yes, yes.
Now, was he involved in the gay rights movement as well after or at some point?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
But definitely all the way involved in the civil rights movement. So we want to give a big shout out to Bayard Rustin. So that is how we feel. We love our gay community that loves us. We want to just give you all the happiest and the biggest pride we ever can. We love when June comes around because, you know, it's time for us to put on our rainbows. Right. So we appreciate you guys listening to Reasonably Shady. We are here every week, every Monday, Monday after Monday. So, you know, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. We are still having fun. I hope you're having fun listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. Reasonably Shady is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You can connect with us on social media at Robin Dixon 10, Giselle Bryant, and Reasonably Shady.